This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station. It's time for the Klang Valley's biggest conversation, Talk Back on the Evening Edition, only on BFM 89.9.
It's Talk Back. You're with Caroline and Ezra. The number to call is 0377109000. Our lines are open. You can WhatsApp us at 0187898899. Of course, tweet us at BFM Radio. This evening on Talk Back, we're talking about a parent's role in the career guidance process, asking you the question, who should decide what kids study at university, the parents or the kids? And of course, you know, Caroline, going off to university is a big deal for both kids and their parents. Is all about that next big step in life, the transition from carefree youth to the drudgery and responsibilities of adulthood.
Yep, that's right. In fact, our Deputy Education Minister had something to say about it recently, saying that parents should, you know, consider the children's interests before deciding what field they should study when it comes to tertiary education. So, you know, when it comes to tertiary education, all those fun things are involved, right? Things like looking for a place to live, paying rent,
right,
buying groceries, you know, and you've to do all that while keeping your grades consistent. So I think just for any young Malaysians is a point in your life where it's kind of a lot to take in, and that's above and beyond your chosen major.
Yeah, and choosing one's major, you think it's one of those things that doesn't have, you know, a real significant impact, but you know, it depends really on a case-to-case basis. Typically, for example, during secondary school, there isn't really a sense of urgency about the future. In local schools, you're often asked, what do you want to be when you grow up? Mm. And most kids, you know, at that age would answer that question quite ambivalently, you know, doctor, lawyer, accountant, rock star. But irrespective of your ambitions, there's that sense of disconnect. At that age, all that matters is the immediate hurdle,
yeah,
which is most, you know, most likely SPM or something like
that. Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. So it's just, you know, those two basic options, right? You have the science and arts stream dilemma. And even then, very little is actually impressed upon you by the way of the significance of these options.
Yes.
And then from there, you've got multiple subjects to study for and hopefully pass. And then when you're done with secondary school, you're landed with all these options, right? What to study, where to study, can I afford to study there, can I get in, where do I study? I mean, I think if your world has largely taken place within the bubble of your family and your school, it can be pretty overwhelming, especially so if you think about how important this step is.
And of course, that's where parents usually try to be of help, you know, being the ones who actually recognize the significance of this crossroads and the impact that it has on their child's future. It's a decision that's rarely made without their input. And parents take to this in a variety of ways with varying degrees of control. Some give their kids complete freedom of choice to pursue specific interests. Some try to offer advice. And there are also parents who take full control of the decision-making process right from the moment they enter into school. Many feel that their kids don't have the foresight to pursue a degree that will give them the best opportunities in life.
Yeah, I guess for many parents, it can be difficult to fully grasp just the transition, right? There's a perceived naivety and a lack of direction when kids are fresh out of school. It's like, you know, you can't even find your socks. You know, how are you going to pick a university?
Right.
You know, and I think because of the reality of that, it's a very valid concern and can sometimes translate into that all-out control that you're talking about.
Yeah.
You know, just to make sure, though, that your kid gets this very important decision right, it comes from the right place. But is that really what's best for the child?
Yeah. And of course, in this day and age, we're, you know, seeing many people take different, you know, paths and different directions. A lot of people learning from their mistakes. Mm-hmm. We all know some of those, you know, that where parents force them to pursue a particular degree, a law major perhaps, and
yep,
then only to end up becoming a barista.
Yep.
And not a barrister.
Yes.
So there appears to be more acknowledgement these days that a child's interests and abilities need to be taken into account when making these decisions, but how far do you let it go before stepping in, or should you step in at all?
Yeah, so when it comes to looking at job market prospects and long-term careers that are lucrative and, you know, what the future holds, who really knows best? Is it the parent or is it the child? And I guess that's what we're asking today.
Absolutely. 0377109000, WhatsApp us at 0187898899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. We're asking you, who should decide what kids kids study at university, the parents or the kids? Are you comfortable allowing your child decide on his or her college major? And, you know, if you're a parent, if you're a school leaver, if you're a kid in college, we want to hear from you. Once again, the number is 0377109000. Caroline, do you remember, you know, having these types of conversations about where your future should end up?
Yeah, I don't remember because it's been a really long time.
Oh, you've suppressed
time.
It. You've suppressed
I've
it.
I suppressed it. Maybe it wasn't a very pleasant experience for me, but I'm sure it's fresh enough for you, considering you're closer to school going age.
Thanks, Caroline. Thanks. Well, I remember, you know, that sort of ambivalent question being asked, you know, what do you want to be when you grow up? And a lot of it is a reference point towards your family members. So therefore, if your father was a lawyer, therefore, oh, you must be want to be a lawyer as well.
Yeah.
And it for at least a number of years, 6-7 years, I had this, you know, weird view in my head that I would end up being a lawyer without actually knowing what subjects to take, what sort of skills that I would actually need to have.
What you would do as a lawyer, perhaps.
And so what would happen in the preceding teenage years was that, you know, people would ask me that, and I would just say that answer simply because I said that, you know, when I was in standard 3 or standard 4.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean anything.
It didn't
right?
mean anything. Yeah. And then suddenly, once you start going to university and you start realizing, oh, no, that's not what you want to be at all.
Yeah.
And you start figuring out your interests on your own. But by that time, there's this juggling of time, right? A juggling of priorities. What will land you a job? What kind of grades can you get to bring yourself towards a particular focus or discipline?
Yeah, I think it's probably a very familiar place that most people find themselves in. You know, you feel as though at that point, really, you know, what matters? What matters is what's happening around you. You're really not thinking long term. You're not thinking 20 years from now, is this job still going to be on the market? You know, am I going to be making enough money? Is this the last thing you think of? But because of that, you know, you do wonder whether or not parents who are controlling about it have a valid reason.
Yes. And that's what we want to hear from parents who, you know, have decided their fate, you know, from the get-go. 0377109000. You can WhatsApp us at 0187898899. Tweet us at BFM Radio.
All right. So this tweet in from Shi Sian Lee saying, the kids should decide. The parents can and should advise, but they should not control. Another tweet in from Sarah, who says, the child should decide, but the parents play an important role in guiding and raising their child towards their talents and interests. So a couple of these essentially talking about how it's important for parents to sort of nudge them in the right direction, but not tell them what to do.
Nudge, manipulate, tomato, tomato. I get the drill because, you know, one of my favorite lines that my mother sort of applied towards me and my siblings was, Ezra, you can do whatever you want in life.
Yeah.
Just get that degree and you can do whatever you want in life. And it's a very smart, yet also, dare I say, sneaky approach in trying to sort of make sure that she got what she wanted in that deal.
This WhatsApp came in saying parents should let go and let the child make an educated decision. Now, I mean, that's an interesting thing, isn't it? So this whole concept of letting go and how much one should parent.
Yeah, well, you know, kids trying to make an educated guess on something as important as this in what, your early to mid 20s, it's a lot. There's a lot of ignorance and just being unaware of the possibilities of where your talents lie and what sort of things will actually make you happy, and also what sort of opportunities are available in what industries in any given territory. Like, I try to reverse engineer this notion as to where I am right now. Like,
it doesn't count because where you are right now comes with a lot of insights that you've gotten through the years, and that's where parents are coming
but
from.
That's right, right? So, like, you know, I'm trying to think, you know, so if I could travel back in time and speak to younger Ezra, say, hey, you know, you're going to be a radio presenter in about X amount of years.
Yeah.
You know, what, even if you knew that information, what would be necessarily the best path towards securing something like that? I wouldn't know the answer to that.
Yeah, there would be that, and whether or not, I suppose, education, you know, was in a place where it could get you to where you are today.
Yeah, there was radio school recommended to me at the age of 17 or 18.
Yeah, no, I don't know. Looking back like that, I think it doesn't work. But, you know, share with us what your experience was. Who made that decision for you?
Yeah.
Was it the right way to do it as well?
Absolutely. 03-77-10-9000. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. Also, I wanted to hear from folks, you know, if there was someone significant in your life, you know, a family friend or a family member who, you know, had that chat with you that sort of sparked that idea as to what exactly ignited your passion and your pursuits. 03-77-10-9000. Simon is our first caller of the day. Hi, Simon.
Hi, how are you?
We're good. Thank you for calling in. Tell us, what do you think about who should make, you know, the decision for the kids? The parents, the kids, what do you think?
Well, I think the new generations are probably the parents might need to guide them through, because I think the new generation would be very hard-headed to follow. To follow whatever the parents want them to do.
Oh, that's interesting that you're making a distinction between this generation. Why do you think the previous generation did not require for parents to guide them?
My problem is when during my generation, my father was a chef. He don't go to school much. Right after my SDPM, my father come back and tell me, you go and study whatever you want. I'll pay for it.
Mm.
But when I look at my father, I understand that he doesn't have the money. So literally, I was lost and I didn't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a very good student and I'm not a very stupid student anyway. But then I just know that my family doesn't have money. So in that time, I was totally lost. I didn't want to do. So what I did was I switched on the television and I saw our good old Tun Mahathir say 2020 IT.
Right.
So what I did was, first thing I do, I just took an IT course, the cheapest one available.
Wow.
Yeah, so eventually I got into an IT, but now I turned into an airline doing something else, you know. So at the end of the day, I noticed that the way that my father given me that choice, I wasn't prepared to make that choice. But then, thank God, that time I indirectly was blessed with making the right choice. So, but then nowadays, the young people here are totally different thinking. They are more Google world, you know. They always think that they can save the world in a garage.
Right, so that's right.
They will always make decisions that is sometimes to us that is not logical.
Right.
And as a parent, I think I would strongly try to encourage them. I have a son that's 7 years old.
Yeah.
The way I educate him is that I would look at what he likes to do and try to encourage him of what he likes to do.
Right.
So that he would know the next step to take when it comes to universities.
But Simon, I mean, you know, not only just, I guess, learning institutions about, you know, what they should decide to study in university, even just trying to envision the types of jobs that will be available to your 7-year-old kid in the next 20, 25 years would be vastly different to what your father went through and what you're going through.
Yeah, but then to come to think of it, as an IT guy myself, you can't predict what is going to happen in the next 20 years.
Yeah.
The world has changed so dramatic, you know. You never thought that the technology has changed so much, and the job scopes has always changed so much. So what I felt that for my children per se, I would rather teach them how to be the right person,
mm-hmm.
taking the right job, taking the right attitude. And regardless of whatever situation happened out there, they will get a job. It's similar to what I am. If I'm a good person, if I was having the right attitude towards, which is very difficult to find nowadays, like young men. So having the right attitude towards your work, never think that your boss owes you everything. So that way, they would be able to really be the person that they want to be in the future.
Oh.
Or else I can't predict what is going to happen in the future, because that knows where I'm going.
Yeah.
That's a fair point. Thank you very much for calling in, Simon.
And it sounds like a good plan, right? Character building.
Yeah, absolutely. And just this notion that, you know, just have a great attitude at work and feel like your boss doesn't owe you anything. You know, these are very, very good, strong principles. Thank you for being our first caller on TalkBack. If you want to chime in on this topic, 03-77-10-9000 is the number to call. We're asking you the question, who should decide what kids study at university, the parents or the kids? We'll be right back after this on BFM 89.9.
Time for the 4 T's. Tweet, text, talk back on BFM 89.9.
It's 03-771-09000. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. She's Caroline. I'm Ezra. It's Top Back. And we're asking you the question, who should decide what kids study at university, the parents or the kids? Once again, talk to us on 03-771-09000. Our next caller on the line is Zahid. Zahid, thanks for joining us. Tell us what you think. Is it a case of kids know best or parents know best?
Hi, hello.
Hi.
Yes, I think the parents would know better than the children. Mm-hmm. From my experience, actually, I love to draw. So I wanted to become an architect. Then my dad says that, you know, architect is too long. So why don't you take accounting instead? So he sent me for accounting.
Right.
Okay.
And to be honest, that path has really opened up a lot of opportunity for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess because my dad is an accountant, my grandparents was also an accountant. So
right. Yeah, it's almost like a family tradition at this point.
Yeah, yeah. So, well, I guess why not, you know, continue the family tradition.
So here's the thing, though. So there are three generations of accountants, and you know, clearly you're happy with the path that you took. But do you ever wish that you did architecture instead? You know, decided to perhaps just do your own thing.
No, because, you know, come to think about it, my dad has a lot more wisdom,
mm-hmm.
and I wouldn't know where the path of architecture will put me, mm-hmm. if I think about it. But the path of the career that for accounting has really opened up for me.
And of course, you know, if you were to talk to a younger person, what sort of wisdom would you impart on them, knowing that you've had a little bit more experience now as somebody who's gone through university and in working life? What would you impart?
Yeah, I would just say listen to your parents, because they know best. They have the wisdom. Mm-hmm. They've been through more than us, mm-hmm. as children. So, yeah, I would say that the parent knows best.
All right. Thank you very much for calling in, Zahid. You know, that's an interesting perspective. Yep. And of course, it's a perspective that has worked for generations after generations as well.
Well, certainly for his family. It's a perspective shared by 9% of people who have voted in our poll today. We're asking who should decide what kids study at university. 91% have weighed in saying it should be the kids, but 9% say the parents.
All right. And 03-771-09000 is the number to call. Our next caller is Richard. Hi, Richard.
Hi, good evening.
Good evening, thanks for joining us. Tell us, what do you think about, you know, who should be the decision maker of you know, the kids' fates at university? That the parents should have a bit more of a say, or the kids?
I think the parents. I give a little bit of my background.
Sure.
I'm in my 60s now. My parents were not educated at all. My dad was a carpenter. So, but very funny, they sent me to a LaSalle school.
Yes.
Which is all English in those days.
Mm-hmm.
The language was a problem. So when it came to my secondary school, and after my Form 5, my dad asked me, what do you want to do? So I said, I don't know. And the funny answer from my mom was, as long as he's good in what he's doing, let him do what he wants.
Mm. Yeah.
And she says, well, if you want to be a gangster, it's okay, you know, but make sure he's a taiko and don't kill people.
You know, wow, very specific advice.
So a lot of people will say, that's crazy, but if you listen to this, understand the philosophy behind it, it's very interesting. Because what she's saying is that do the best you can,
mm-hmm.
do the best you're good in,
mm-hmm.
and don't do bad things. That's the analogy. And I took up economics because I'm not very academic, and to me, economics was the easiest thing to do. Coming down, 30, 40 years later,
mm-hmm.
my son came along and he's a chef, so he totally took up something different from me.
Oh.
Because he likes to eat.
And how comfortable were you with his choice and with his pursuit?
Maybe it's in the family. He was not very academic in his studies. So, I mean, if you're not academic, doesn't mean you're not good. You know, so we look at him and say, what would you like to do? He likes to play his guitar, he likes to eat. So I said, well, would you like to be a chef? You know, and he started, you know, taking up the culinary arts, and today he's a chef in Sydney.
Mm-hmm.
So he's doing well. You know, he's doing well. And this is what we always believe in, that look at your passion, look at what you're good in, but when you take it up, do the best you can. and be committed to what you do. You know, that's a simple analogy in it. Yeah.
All right, Richard. Thank you very much. Good job on the parenting, and to your parents as well, I guess. Yeah. I mean, it looks like everything worked out, and you know, there are simple and real truth to what sort of Richard tried to describe there. You know, figure out what it is that you like to do, and if you're good at it, certainly try and explore and pursue that, because mm-hmm. you know, there's a saying about, you know, doing a job that you love every day isn't really work.
Never work a day in your life or something.
Something along those lines. 03-771-09000. WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. Our next call is Robin. Hi, Robin.
Hi, Ezra. Hi, Caroline.
Hi. I'm doing well, thank you, Robin. What do you say?
I was just reflecting that our parents probably had it so easy because my mom's going to kill me. Anyway, but you know, remember when we were kids? I think the top jobs or the most wanted jobs at that time, I think you could count on one hand.
Yeah.
You know, lawyers, engineers, doctors, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But today, I've given up. I don't think, in answer to the question, there's no way that parents should choose for the kids because we don't know enough.
Mm-hmm.
I was telling my kids the other day, do you know we have a Malaysian girl who's on the Pixar team? Remember those animated films you love so much? We actually have a Malaysian girl there, you know?
Right.
And the type of jobs that are coming out that are incredible, it's just too many. It's just growing every day. But I think one thing hasn't changed, which is I don't think most of the parents ever chose careers for their kids so much as like guided them. And I think that's the same today.
Mm-hmm.
I would probably guide my kids. I keep telling them to look at what your talents are. And the bad news is, you have to practice. You know, my kids are going to get sick of hearing that. But I mean, if you love math, you've got to practice. If you love football, you've got to practice. And, you know,
only way to Carnegie Hall.
Exactly. And then hopefully you get success. And every parent, I would think, is about the same. We equate success, unfortunately, to material things because, yeah, money doesn't buy happiness. But let's face it, it makes things a little bit easier than you don't have it.
Hard to fight with that.
Robin, thank you very much for calling in and for sharing that experience and that insight as well. And there's truth in that about practicing and making sure that whatever skill or passion you have, that you know that fire doesn't burn out. It's something that needs to be worked at in the short term, and hopefully it grows into something really exciting in the long term.
Yep. So according to James, who sent this message in, it's about discussion. James says the parents have experience; they can say and advise and perhaps recommend, because at that point, a teenager still thinks like a teenager.
Before we head to the 6:30 news, we've got our final caller. Joe is on the line. Hi, Joe.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Tell us what you think. Yeah. You know, who should make that decision?
I don't think parents of today will be able to influence the decision.
And why is that?
Because during our time as parents, our parents struggled. My parents are both teachers, and they managed to put us through school.
Mm-hmm.
We got good education and a good degree, and then we probably get a good job. Like myself, I work in a multinational company, and then after that, I managed to get a job in a local blue chip company, you know,
mm-hmm.
and reach almost the maximum that I can get in my own career life.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at my three kids that I have today, I have got no idea what they are going to be going through, because therefore I don't have any way of influencing them.
And how old are your kids right now?
My first kid just entered uni.
Yeah.
And his interest is in fashion. He's a fashionista, you know, and he's doing his own fashion line and all that,
mm-hmm.
you know. So I don't know. God knows where he's heading to with all that. The second kid I have, he's into online gaming. He's doing this online game. He's going to Singapore next week.
Sure.
And he's going to Sydney end of the year. Wow. And he has made money being a competitive online gamer.
Competitive online gamer. That's a huge industry, right? Okay. And your third kid, finally.
Yeah, And my third kid, he's into singing. He's a soprano singer.
Wow. You know, and, that's a really colorful family you got.
he's joined the national choir and
nice.
He thinks that he can make money by being a soprano singer. And we just got no idea what soprano singer is all about. But he can sing and he has a soprano singer. So you tell me, out of these three kids, I have got no way of influencing they're going through. All I can say is that I probably will encourage them. I probably will tell the government to create a good environment where our children can excel. But beyond that, I leave it to them and God.
Well, Joe, thank you very much for calling in and sharing that with us. I think, you know, with those three industries and those three passions that your kids have, it's a very exciting field in fashion, in music, in gaming.
All I can say is it's one fabulous family.
Absolutely. Talkback continues after the 6:30 news with Keith Calm. It's BFM 89.9.
Psst, you there? Open your mouth and...
Talk! It's Talkback time on BFM 89.9.
It's Talk Back. You're with Caroline and Ezra. The number to call is 0377109000. Of course, you can WhatsApp us 0187898899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. Caroline, the question we're asking today?
Yep, is essentially whether or not you should be deciding what your kids study at university. Who knows best, parents or kids? Essentially, it's a parent's role in the whole career guidance process. And we have a couple of messages that have come in from Ihsan, who says, parents can paint some realities of certain professions and assist by shopping for degrees together with their kids. And this one that's pretty interesting, saying start them young, help kids understand more about the occupations available, but teach them about contributing to society, teach them relevant skills and the significance of remuneration, then let them make decisions based on their own interests, steer them towards the most rewarding job, but in brackets, work-life balance. And that's
work-life balance.
That's the definition of rewarding to this individual.
I'm still trying to figure out what that is exactly, but you know, it's one of those things. You know, we speak about who should decide what kids study at university. I've always found it so intimidating when they have these education fairs, right?
Yeah. It's
these big expos where there are all bunch of other contemporaries and kids looking more confident than you are, perhaps, at what your future looks like.
Yeah, for sure.
Their parents are looking super excited about landing certain offers from certain universities, whereas you're looking at the situation going, who am I? What exactly am I doing here? Yeah. And what am I supposed to pursue?
So you're right. You know, physically, those fairs they can be very, very intimidating. It's like the Mata Fair.
Yeah.
Where it's already stressful.
Yeah.
And you're choosing a holiday, not a lifelong profession.
That's right. And it's probably, you know, a couple of business class tickets, you know, over the course of the 4 years or 3 years in the sense of the degree that they're pursuing.
Yeah.
0377109000 is the number to call. Our next caller is Sarah. Hi, Sarah.
Hi. How are you guys?
We're doing okay. And so tell us what you think about, you know, where the decision-making process should lean towards.
Okay. I think I should be diplomatic, and I'll say it really does depend on the family, because certain families have different financial stability and mentalities, right? So not everyone can just allow their child to make any decision that they want, which is unfortunate. But, you know, judging from my experience as well and from experiences of friends, a lot of my friends who have chosen their passion in life, they are just really happy. Like, they're so happy with what they do. Whereas I do have friends who have gone down the corporate line, you know, family chose everything, and they're just constantly complaining. They're constantly unhappy. They're stressed all the time, not sleeping, you know, all those, et cetera, you know, all that. And I also think that, you know, this sort of thing is a long process. You cannot expect a person to make a decision like this in 1 year. Like, before SPM is impossible, you know?
Yeah.
And you're so young, you're immature, you're naive. How are you supposed to know your career and life in the next 20 years? So it's a self-discovery thing. You have to let it develop. You have to let your interests unfold. And then your parents should help support you and encourage you and maybe help you research also. I don't know, not really spoon feeding, but encouragement is really important, I think.
And Sarah, just on that point of letting your interests unfold, you know, that has to kick in, you know, in those first 17, 18 years of your life, you know, in small but significant ways, so that by the time, whether you're trying to figure out whether it's arts or science stream or what university degree you want to pursue, there's a hint of what some of those experiences that are forthcoming might be like.
Yes, exactly. I think that it all, I agree with the, I think it was the recent tweet, it does start young.
Yeah.
It's quite important to implement this sort of decision-making or encouragement in school as well. So maybe that could be lacking, because I was also in a government school and, you know, you're just numbers. You're basically just judged by your grades. And that doesn't necessarily mean you're a stupid student or you're very smart. It just means that you're very good at memorizing and passing exams.
Yeah.
And that's it. Yeah, yeah, exactly. I mean, like, I was seen as a dumb student, but I'm actually very artistic. So I can draw really well. I was pushed into doing architecture, but I hated architecture. Mm-hmm. So, so you see, and I kind of went out of it and just pursued my own thing, and I'm very happy where I am today.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still going on. I'm still discovering what I'm doing today.
Well done to you, Sarah. Yeah. And sometimes, you know, it takes a few bumps in the road to sort of really land on something that really sits right with you, and that process of discovery, you know, goes on a lot longer than after you get that degree.
Yeah, which begs the question, you know, whether or not it's the right time to make that decision,
yeah,
isn't it?
Absolutely. 03-771-09000. Ashime is our next caller on the line. Hi there.
Hi, good evening to both of you.
Good evening.
I think that human is an intuitive species. So you know, our instincts know what we want to do. And I remember when I was 19 years old, I actually scored 4.0 CGPA for my foundation.
Right.
And my parents told me that, hey, you've got 4.0 and you definitely should take a doctor, you should be a pharmacist or engineer.
Right.
Because they have this golden ticket to enter to any university that you want. Chances are you'll be admitted. But I told them, no, not everyone is chosen the next doctor, the next pharmacist, dentist, engineer, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think when I was like 15 years old, when I started to learn how to read the newspaper, I realized that much of environmental issues around, and I want to be part of the solutions. And I begin to look for occupation that is related to environment, but I couldn't find any. And that's no prospect for environment in Malaysia especially, and you should give up and become a doctor.
Right.
But you know, I cannot do that if it's not my true value. So I begin to search, and I realize there's actually job opportunities out there. So I negotiated with my parents. I actually fought with them. And in the end, there has to be a win-win situation. Yes, you can take environmental science for your degree, but you must do it in University of Malaya.
Hmm.
Okay, fine, I do it. And thank God for that. Actually, there's so much of opportunity because you are in UM. There's a lot of opportunity.
Unfortunately, we've just lost the connection with Shime, and you know, I think she was just telling us that, you know, she managed to get some sort of negotiation and some sort of understanding with her parents about where her interests lie and where her academic performance, which was very, very high, and she managed to pursue that at University of Malaya, and looking into the field of the environment.
One happy individual who found that balance, right?
Yeah, and you know, I loved what Shime was talking about. You know, I fought with my parents. I negotiated, and I think that's something that so many instances occur in that realm where there's a concern about what's exactly best for their kids.
And call us and tell us if you've had that I don't want to say fight, but that negotiation with your parents.
Yeah, and so some of those negotiations go on for as long as you can imagine, in fact. 03-771-09000. Thank you again, Shime, for calling in. Our next caller right now is Joshua. Hi, Joshua.
Hi.
Tell us what you think.
I work in a high school.
Yes.
And I'm a counselor where I deal with students exactly at this stage.
Oh, brilliant. So what have you observed?
Yeah, they come to me saying, they come to us actually asking what happens next in life.
And what answer do you give them?
The personal answer is usually do what you like. That's
yes.
always the one where I want students to choose what they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because for me, it's going to be lifelong. But of course, I always tell them you have to do it in discussion with your parents because that's where the money is going to come from.
Yeah.
But I'm always hopeful that I hope that they make their own decisions, because I've seen so many of them, the parents decide everything for them.
Yeah.
To the level of where they stay, what clothes they buy.
Yeah.
Everything. So they don't know how to make decisions for themselves. And this generation, there's a whole group of students who are brilliant, but they just don't know how to make decisions for themselves.
Let me ask you this. So when you tell them to do what they like, how has that worked out for them?
So I try to teach them negotiation skills.
Mm-hmm.
I usually tell them, like, okay, if you decide to do music, you must be able to convince your typical Asian parent what kind of career you can possibly have. Don't choose something that perhaps there may not be career options at all in Malaysia, but if you're thinking of going somewhere else, you must be able to present it to your parents in a wise way.
Right. Don't present it by saying, I'm going to be a starving musician, for example, right?
You have to be very practical in that sense also, in how you speak to your parents, because the parents from a time where they worked really hard, they saved up a lot of money, they want to send their children to do the best and make sure they do the best in life. So you must be wise in speaking to them. But I've also had parents who decide everything to the point of filling up application forms, going with children for their interviews, and that's pretty scary.
Yeah.
Where the parents really get extra involved. Yeah.
Well, Joshua, thank you very much for calling in. It was terrific to, you know, have an academic counselor actually call in and give his perspective, because, you know, that's his day job. You know, mm-hmm. We're doing this for a little bit over an hour, but, you know, he has to encounter and in some ways advise and provide some sort of perspective, because, you know, he has to be careful in some degree, because there are a lot of parents who are perhaps a little bit more controlling on these aspects of discussion, right?
Yeah, I mean, I guess a little bit more controlling is a nice way to put it.
Yeah.
I can imagine some really, you know, some conversations with big fireworks.
Now, of course, earlier we were speaking to Shime, who, you know, had to pursue her interest in the environment. She went to University of Malaya. The connection was cut off, but we're going to get right back to her after a quick word from our sponsors. It's Talk Back right here on BFM 89.9.
Time for the four T's. Tweet, text, talk, talk back on BFM 89.9.
It's Caroline and Ezra on Talk Back. The number to call is 0377109000. Now, recently, the Deputy Education Minister, Dato' Chong Sin Woon, said parents should consider their children's interests before deciding what field they should study at university or in college. Mm-hmm. And that's essentially the question we're asking you today. What was that process like for you, for your kids? And have you had conversations with your parents at length about, you know, who should be at the heart of this decision-making process, the parents or the children? 0377109000. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, earlier we were speaking to Shime before the connection got cut off a little bit. We're going to get back to her right now. Shime, of course, just before you got cut off, we were at the stage of where you were entering University of Malaya and pursuing
environmental science.
Environmental science, yes. Shime, are you there? Unfortunately, she's not available with us right now. Mm. Do try and call us back at 0377109000. Moving on to Saliza. Hi, Saliza.
Hi.
Hi. Tell us what you think about this particular topic and whether it's the kids that should be making the decision or the parents.
I think there is no black and white to this kind of question, because it goes back to the nature of relationship the children have with the parents. Because we are talking about two gaps of the generation here. So it's about talking, understanding each other, and, you know, trust in each other's opinion.
Hmm.
Yeah, because... talking from a standpoint of a teacher,
yeah.
You know, I teach IGCSE in Cambridge School, so this problem is epic. So, if we go through the kind of family that we have in Malaysia, each and every family is tied to the kind of background that they have, the culture that they have,
sure.
The way they think, you know. So, just try to understand each other and, you know, trust each other. And because for me, I came from a family that are not very educated out there. So this journey to finding a job is different with a lot of details on.
So, Salisa, what are you, I guess, imparting towards the kids, in as a teacher and as somebody who's gone through, an experience that's quite unique to your own?
Try to explore the opportunity that they have, because when you discuss about something, each suggestion has a reason. Try to understand that reason. And for the children, it's not that they don't have a say in their own future, but try to consider from a standpoint of their parents. And for the parents, it's not that they don't have any veto upon the future of their children.
Yeah.
But we are talking about the future of their children, not their future per se.
For sure. So yeah. I guess the advice there is to get into each other's shoes.
Absolutely. And thank you very much for calling in, Salisa. 0377109000. Who should decide what kids study at university, the parents or the kids? On the line is Paul. Hi, Paul.
Hi, guys. So nice to speak with you twice in a day. What a privilege.
That's
very
right.
Nice to have you with us, Paul. All right. What do you think of this, Paul? Should parents decide? Should kids decide?
The point of view I'm coming from is as a son who went through the rigors, as a parent, and I've got two daughters still in university, one at bachelor's and one at master's, and as a psychologist. One of the things is the best practice of a parent should be about creating a learner. Now, both my daughters have not done a professional course. At university, you can do two things. One, a professional course, and one, a course to increase your knowledge and passion in an area.
Mm-hmm.
They've both done passionate courses in social sciences, anthropology, gender studies, women's rights, etc. And they're doing very, very well. I'm not worried about what they're going to earn and where they're going to end up.
But were you worried before this, Paul?
Not at all. I had to fight through law, engineering. I even did 6 weeks of nuclear physics, can you believe that? And I went for medicine, pre-med too. I'm so screwed up, I did psychology, but that was my passion since I was 15. And I don't look back at all, you know. However, what's important now for parents to consider is a very good pre-university course. Our education system doesn't give you that variability of subjects and blowing your mind in other areas in different ways of thinking.
Mm.
So a good pre-university course will involve all kinds of subjects which your children might fall in love with and they might find a talent and an inclination. That's what happened to my girls.
That's a fabulous suggestion.
And Paul, talk to me about, I guess, this notion, a lot of parents are trying to, apart from speaking the same language to their kids, the world and the opportunities available are changing so rapidly and drastically. And sometimes parents are feeling a little bit intimidated in even trying to figure out what to advise anymore, because you can't go with the standard lawyer, doctor, accountant, engineer route. You need to be at least in touch before your kids can even respect the opinion that you're going to be providing.
Exactly. I think a change of mindset is due for all parents, because we need to produce children who can learn to apply what they learn. Apply the learning technique in everything you do. This is the era of entrepreneurship. It's going to go on for a long time. We've got enough professionals in the system.
Yeah.
So much so it's clogging all the vessels already. But the important thing is, okay, let me give you a great example. Look at BFM.
Looking at BFM.
Be careful now, Paul.
You guys, all of you come from such varied backgrounds, so consolidated in learning how to apply your knowledge, your passionate areas, your history, your music, your all kinds of stuff. That is so amazing. Your parents should be very, very proud of you. But
Malik is proud of us.
Well, I'm gonna take this recording and send it to my parents.
No, but honestly, you're a shining example. I'm not biased here in any way, but I'm sure there are many other people around. But parents should have a slight change of mindset. They should come for this workshop, Junior Health and Living, because the whole day today you've been needling through a lovely thread of education, of parenting, and things like that. Because this is a serious consideration now. If you want your children to succeed, they can't succeed on a platform. No longer. The platforms are filled. The theaters are filled.
Mm.
They've got to have the skills to perform anywhere, everywhere, because it calls upon all their skills, their learning abilities, their adjustability, their mental hygiene, just like BFM.
Well, thank you very much for calling in. Of course, that was Paul Jamunathan. We were speaking to him earlier during the top five about another related topic.
And he spends a lot of time on the bigger picture on the health show
as
well.
Absolutely.
Maybe we should hire him as our marketer, I think.
Well, at least in terms of dealing with my ego right now, I'm delighted that I can send this recording to my parents now. 03-77-109-000. You can WhatsApp us at 01-879-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We're asking the question, who should decide what kids study at university, the parents or the kids? Our next caller is David. Hi, David.
Hello. How are you doing, guys?
We're doing okay, well. Thanks. And tell us what you think about this topic.
I think Paul is definitely right. Mm-hmm. And I have two kids. And what happened was we actually understand their aptitude, what they like as they are growing up. And then we nurture them and expose them. And as they are growing up, they get exposed to different type of things. And then they will be hooked on a certain kind of passion or something that they like. And then we drive them towards, in a way, towards that direction. My daughter is an anthropologist. Right? She studied anthropology and she's graduated. Mm-hmm. And then my son is studying acting.
Wow.
And we are very happy for them. And as Paul was saying, that we let our children go and explore a lot of things.
Can I ask you, how did you feel when is it your son who's into acting? How did you feel when he first brought that up? Were you overjoyed? Were you concerned at all whether or not he'd be able to, make a living? You know, all the conventional things that come along with kids that, want to be actors.
Actually, I was overjoyed.
Mm-hmm.
Because he actually enjoyed acting. And me, I'm a photographer. And when the day when I decided to become a photographer, I was like so happy.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that my son will be happy doing something he liked. And another thing, my wife was an accountant. And she became an accountant for a long time. And then one day she said to me, Lokong, I want to be a psychologist. I want to study psychology. And today she's actually working with Paul.
Wow.
Oh, wow. Oh,
that's a small world.
Paul was just calling and then,
Paul, our previous caller. Okay.
Yes, I mean, I was in construction. I was in construction. One day I woke up, I said, no, I want to be a photographer. And then I just persuaded that. And I have 30 years. I'm being a photographer.
That is incredible. And certainly the most fluid sounding family that we've heard from this evening. And I think it's lovely that he was overjoyed. It wasn't even talking about the type of profession, the fact that it was acting. He was overjoyed because his son would be doing something that he loved.
No, and I think it's the empathy that he showed, because he could relate it to his own personal experience.
Absolutely.
of realizing one day, you know what, this is what I want to do. This is what I've meant to do. And this is what I would love to enjoy doing for the rest of my life.
Yep. Going to read out some messages for you. This one from Lee saying, kids should choose what to do instead of their parents. If you can live with your parents' decision for the rest of your life, so be it. I didn't really know what to do or where to go when it was time for graduation. I ended up reading math and stats, and fast forward a decade later, people like us are actually in demand, especially with the rise of machine learning and big data. Point is, life is about trial and error.
Oh, very nice. And, of course, we're getting all sorts of different perspectives from everyone from academic counselors to psychologists, and we want to keep the lines open, and we want to hear from you. Who should decide what kids study at university, the parents or the kids? We want to hear from the kids as well. We've heard a lot from parents thus far, but kids, if you're in college, if you're a school leaver, call us at 03-77-109-000.
Yep. Navin says kids have intellect, ambition and dreams just like their parents, so why shouldn't kids decide their futures? They know what's going on.
All right, Talk Back continues after the 7 o'clock news. It's BFM 89.9.
It's time for the Klang Valley's biggest conversation, Talk Back on the Evening Edition, only on BFM 89.9.
It's Caroline and Ezra on TalkBack. The number to call is 0377109000. You can WhatsApp us at 0187898899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. Today we're asking you who should decide what kids study at university, the parents or the kids. This past hour we've had a variety of great and interesting and enlightening responses from all sorts of our callers, giving different approaches and different guidance towards what they've experienced themselves, but also how they're passing on some wisdom towards the next generation as well.
Yeah, that's right. And we're receiving a barrage of messages. This one saying, parents should advise your kids to research the job market instead of choosing for them. But at the end of the day, food, clothing and shelter come first. Unless your parents are really rich, then it's a different story. Parents have to decide. This one on the issue of jobs of the future, saying, I decided that I wanted to do mechanical engineering. I've been working as an industrial engineer all my life. My parents didn't go past MCE, so they trusted me, supported me all the way. But times are changing really fast, and I don't think I can do the same for my child. We may need to project what jobs will still be around in 20 years' time. Otherwise, she'll be one of those graduates with no jobs. And I think that's the thing, isn't it? So we're on the precipice. It's transitioning to a point where, and we're always talking about the fact that there may not be the jobs of yore in 20 years' time.
Yeah, you know, you think about school leavers in the late 90s going into the early 2000s, and sure, there were. It's easy, you know, when we take a look in hindsight, but at that time, IT and the learning of IT was booming, and you can sense at the time, whilst that was being made apparent to many of the practitioners of the respective industries, a lot of parents might have said, wait, studying IT, what for? And that was prior to the internet and all of that sort of blowing up in a big way. And of course now, when we think about everything that we do, it's all about IT. And what is that next phase that we can, I guess, potentially predict or prepare for future generations, for our nephews and kids?
And is it feasible to try and prepare for it? How feasible, right?
0377109000. It's Top Bank. Our next caller is Chong. Hi, Chong.
Hi, good evening, guys.
Good evening. Tell us what you think about, who should be part of that decision-making process, either the parents or the kids.
I think it should be a joint process. And my approach has been guide rather than force. And it's a funny thing that you mentioned IT, because I studied IT. I got my IT degree in the 80s, and at that time it was pretty uncertain that we'd end up here today. So I'm still enjoying my IT career after 31 years.
Wow, it's terrific.
So, but it wasn't the first thought of my mind that my three sons should follow my footsteps. We started talking about what they wanted to do when they were in, Form 4, Form 5. And so we had discussions, and only one of my children, my eldest, that we had sort of a conversation that came to tears almost.
Mm-hmm.
But I said, the choice that he was going to make, which was journalism. I mean, obviously, we did not have BFM at that time, unfortunately. So I told him, okay, fine, you go and think about it, and if you can come up with a second option, let's talk about it. And then he came up with psychology. So here's a tip for parents. I've got two boys, undertaking degrees now, and one who's graduated. And what I did was, whatever they chose, I chose a pre-U that was more generic. In other words, for example, my eldest, he wanted to do psychology.
Mm-hmm.
My middle boy is doing IT, and my youngest one is doing finance, mm-hmm. right? So when it came to the pre-U, I chose a pre-U that had subjects that exposed them to the potential course or career that they wanted, and so that they could get a chance to try during the pre-U.
Yeah.
And then if they had changed their minds after 1 year of doing that, a few of those subjects, they we'd be safe. So I never thought of enrolling them, say, for example, for the finance child. I never thought of putting him into a, a foundation course that would lock him into finance, for example.
I think that's a really brilliant idea and a brilliant tip, because you are actually exposing them to the realities of whatever it is they've chosen, and it's still not too late to turn things around if you decide at that point that, this is not for me, it's not the end of the world.
Thank you very much for calling in, Chong. And I think what's also interesting about that, it's there is this notion about turning things around before it's too late. And there's, I remember a little bit of you know, even in my conversation with my parents, even prior to deciding to do a degree, and even in the middle of the degree, there was so much tension about the value of the degree and the university and what sort of doors and opportunities would open for me as a result of that. And I never enjoyed that entire process. I actually enjoyed going to lectures and learning and listening.
Yeah.
But just this entire element of where the university and your major becomes bigger than what you can actually stomach.
So that's interesting, because then your notion of turning things around before it's too late doesn't necessarily apply, because what you were learning were life lessons, right? You were going through university.
I would like to think so.
Well, you've clearly come out a fine young man.
Just about. We're going to move on to our next caller on Talkback. Tariq is on the line. Hi, Tariq.
Hi, Ezra. Hi, Caroline.
Hi.
Tell us what you think.
Okay. Funny Ezra uses that intro for my call, because that's kind of what I wanted to talk about. Like when I was a kid, I wanted to be a programmer. That was my thing. I loved computers. Was going to be my thing, and I'm going to become a programmer, and I'm going to work on computers all the time, and I would be really happy, which is really funny, because right now I don't actually do that. I am in IT, because when you have a computing degree, that's what you end up doing anyway. But I don't actually do that. I don't code for a living. Mm-hmm. I don't work with computers for a living. I work with business plans and people.
Yeah.
You know? And this is something that my sister-in-law, who is a very wise woman, actually said to me. It doesn't matter what you study. It really doesn't. Because fundamentally, you're not going to know what you want. I mean, I didn't know what I wanted when I was 15. I didn't know what I wanted when I was 17. Hell, I didn't even know what I wanted when I was 23.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And I didn't know where my interests would be. I didn't know what I would be good at. And it turns out that I would, and the kind of experiences would shape how my career would go. And this is true for a lot of people I know. I mean, we don't exactly know what our careers are going to be. I went in going into IT. I ended up siding towards more business and more communication. I have a friend who went into the doctor and then became a forensic scientist. And then, halfway through, they quit, and they ended up going into national security. So she's doing that right now. I have another friend who went in as a doctor and now is a poet. How do you know?
And so, Tariq, I guess with all of these examples that you've just shared, is the takeaway that you just there's a lot of uncertainty involved in this process, and that in fact this is just the tip of the iceberg on more crossroads to come.
You see, this is the funny part. We are supposedly at the edge of a precipice into a massive change in our job market, and what do? Do we become entrepreneurs? Are we going to need to relearn blue collar skills and make those respectable? Are we supposed to relearn these? You know, are we supposed to relearn how to do things? What's important? I don't even know. I mean, people are saying entrepreneurship, and I know BFM pushes that line. But how do you know that's going to be true? Because entrepreneurship isn't going to really matter if, in the end, the businesses consolidate and you end up with pseudo monopolies of the nature of Facebook and Google.
Right.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. It's not going to, you know, technology is not going to, programming is not going to matter when machine learning eclipses hand coding developers become the managed services people of tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Like the managed services people of tomorrow are the ones who end up becoming body shops and, you know, end up being swapped around and treated like disposable units. You're not even going to be, like, if you're a doctor or an accountant, what happens when the automation hits you? What are you going to do? And I don't know what the answer is, but I think Paul alluded to it. Some degree of flexibility and adaptability and resilience will be necessary.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly speaking, I actually I actually figured this out. I mean, becoming successful and becoming brilliant is a problem you can throw money at and you will succeed. Because it's a solved problem. You can be successful if you throw enough money at something. But what about why you're being successful? What are we teaching our kids? I mean, it's okay to be resilient and adaptable, but if you're being resilient and adaptable and hurting everyone, what's the point?
Yeah, and I think there's something to that about adaptability in this day and age, and it requires a great deal of resilience as well, because with how things are changing so quickly, you need to sort of be comfortable knowing that some of the lessons that have been learned either in primary, secondary, tertiary institutions, that it's going to serve you in some way, and that it's going to be a constant process of learning and discovery as well. It doesn't stop at tertiary education.
But that's where I think, entrepreneurship, or rather the skills that are required to be a successful entrepreneur will, because you're a creator.
It's all encompassing a little bit. Yeah.
It is, resilience. It's all of those things that are important. Robert sent this message saying, I sympathize with parents and children nowadays as the future of work is so fluid. And we seem to be getting a lot of messages and calls, talking about this fluidity and the fact that nobody knows where it's going to go. But, to a degree, let's not do a Y2K. It could be a whole lot of fuss over nothing. We don't know.
It could be. We're going to continue with Michael, Ming, and Kuldeep. Please hold the line. We'll be right back on Talk Back after this on BFM 89.9.
Time for the four T's. Tweet, text, talk. Talk Back on BFM 89.9.
It's Caroline and Ezra on Talk Back. We're asking you who should decide what kids study at university, parents or the kids. Understandably, in the past hour and a bit, the discussion has evolved from, job security to the future of jobs, what sort of lessons are being learned beyond university. We're trying to sort of build it back to the core of that process when parents and kids talk to each other about what their future is going to look like and how difficult that process is.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? So we talk about the generational gap and how it seems to be very, it seems to be very far away. We talk about jobs of the future and how you can't imagine what that future is going to be like. But I do wonder, back in the day, whether it seemed to be, just as significant and just as big as we imagine it to be today.
Well, I wonder about that now. And I've had, recent conversations with my parents about, this difficult period in my late teens and early 20s about, such crucial decisions that needed to be made. Yeah. And so now we're talking about, my younger nephews and then their grandchildren about how do we prepare and put the parameters as to what good steps can be taken. And the reality is that things are so fluid and all you can do, as many of our colleagues said, is to give them almost a palette of learning, the sense that they can try and experience, fail and try again, and not be overwhelmed by any sort of bump in the road that they might encounter.
And I guess also not be hung up on exactly what it is you're studying, because all these things that they're putting forth, when they're talking about not necessarily focusing on a particular subject or a topic, they're talking about life skills. They're talking about things like resilience, and character building, essentially.
03-77-109,000 is the number to call on Talk Back. Our next caller is Ming. Hi, Ming. Ming, are you there?
I think he's not.
Unfortunately not. Ming, do try call us back at 03-77-109,000. We're going to move on to our next caller. Kuldeep is on the line. Hi, Kuldeep.
Hi.
Tell us what you think about, this topic of, who should decide what kids learn at university, the parents or the kids?
The child. The kid decides.
Mm-hmm. But who's paying for it? Just kidding. But the parents usually pay for it, and therefore they usually like to have some sense of influence over the process.
The kid decides what he or she wants to study, okay? And the parents must support that. Before that, the process, the parents have to expose the kid to all the different careers that are available in the market. That's the job of the parent. Mm-hmm. But if the parent feels that they don't have that knowledge, then the kid has to go out, look on their own, find what are the things that interest them the most. and the parents must support them.
But that's the thing. I think a lot of parents just, you know, especially those who don't believe in letting kids choose, do already feel that, you know, their kids don't have, the kids just don't have the capacity to make those right decisions.
No, no, no. Don't ever do that. If the parent does that, that's very, very wrong. Mm-hmm. They should give them all the knowledge and let them make that final decision.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you very much for calling in, Kuldeep. And of course, you know, it's an interesting thing because, you know, I've had friends, you know, who would have these conversations with their parents, and, you know, their parents would actually sort of turn the table and say, okay, if you want to study that, you can most certainly do that with our support, mm-hmm. but not on our dime.
Hmm.
And
is
so,
that right?
so they would then pursue, I guess, a way in, I mean, they would get sort of that emotional support of the parents in some sort of inverted way.
Yeah.
But, you know, they would pursue scholarships or opportunities to ensure that they could study what they wanted to study. And sometimes, you know, parents, at the end of the day, we've got a lot of messages and callers. There is this idea of security, this idea of food, shelter. And in one generation, things can change dramatically. And you want that security for that next generation.
You know, no, you most definitely do. And we're talking about, I mean, so this specific generation and just, you know, say our parents.
Sure.
You know, and a lot of them having come from, I suppose, you know, parents having experienced the war, for example.
Yeah.
You know, and this is what shaped that mindset.
Yeah.
It's very, very different today.
Absolutely.
But what does remain the same is just, you know, the fact that you want the best for your kids. Eric says this is pretty interesting. Parents have a standard of living to be maintained in their golden years, so children should be filial and do what's best for their parents.
There you go. That's what we're just talking about. Like, there's an expectation, right? Because they've done their time, and, you know, we have this past hour or so, let the kids decide. Let them do what they want to do. Mm. But there's a tradition, especially in Asian families, in patriarchal families, where there's a sense of responsibility and duty,
not to
the individual, but to
the family.
Yeah, to the family. Let's hear from you if you have any of these experiences. 0377109000. Victor is on the line. Hi, Victor.
Victor, where are you?
Victor, are you there?
Yeah, good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening, Caroline and Ezra. Okay, my daughter is currently studying this fashion marketing.
Mm-hmm.
You can rest assured that this is not my choice. But I believe that she got to do, because she's the one taking the course.
Yes.
So as Steve Jobs say, you got to find what you love.
Mm-hmm.
And my role is, I have the privilege of paying for it.
Mm-hmm. So like, well done to you, my friend. Well done to you.
Bless you.
I'm just like an ATM. And for this, as for job prospect,
mm-hmm.
I believe in the song, because my singing is terrible. I will spare you the singing.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
The song the song is Ki Sera Sera. What Aww. Will be, I believe that.
But Victor, can I ask, you know, it's all nice to quote lyrics from a song, but there is a sense that, you know, parents can reduce the odds of uncertainty or failure, and that's what parents are there for, right? Their instinct is to protect and to nurture. And I guess a lot of parents feel that they have a role in that beyond, their early years, even when they decide what they should do and what they should study.
Do you want to know how Victor is curbing?
Yes, that's right. That's
that
what I'm
instinct.
Asking.
Victor?
Victor is not a fortune teller because I cannot tell future. I cannot tell what is what the future is going to hold.
Right.
As a lot of these callers have said that actually things keep changing. I mean, a lot of jobs may not be there 10 years down the road.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, this Caroline, Ezra, do you have degrees in MassCom?
No, not at the moment, no. But I'll study right now if that's going to secure me some sort of future.
So you are doing very well in your profession without this... The degree that you study actually does not help you directly, isn't it, in your job?
Yeah, not directly. Perhaps the experience of that
life
environment.
Lessons. Here
those
we go
life
again.
Lessons
yeah.
Might have helped us along the way.
Fine. Happy for you.
And we're happy for you. Thank you.
Thanks for calling in, Victor. We're going to move on to our next caller. Kevin is on the line. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, Caroline. Hi, Ezra. Good evening.
Good evening.
First time on TalkBack, so I'm pretty excited.
All right, so tell us what you think about, you know, who should be the decision maker, and should parents support that, I assume?
Definitely, I feel that the Twitter poll is not enough. I have to say it out. Okay, so I am almost 30, and it took me 8 years to find and work. If I find, you know, try different jobs, try different businesses until to find what I really wanted to do and what I really enjoy doing and what I'm really made for. So right now I'm in the tech scene. And prior to this, when I was growing up, when I was my teenage days, my dad kept on saying, "Oh no, you gotta be a lawyer, you gotta be an architect. There's too many IT graduates out there." But that was a taboo topic. Having your own state of mind, having your own initiative to where you wanted to go. So my opinion is the kids decide. We'll just, like what you mentioned earlier, Ezra, create the palette, let them try things. Tell them it's okay. I'll introduce them to STEM. I'll introduce them to the arts if I need to.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, let them choose.
All right, very nice.
Thank you very much for that, Kevin.
And perhaps you want to share that palette with everybody.
Yes. And then, Kevin, of course, congrats on calling for your first time to host TalkBack. Nice. Call us next week again. Our final call of the day is Tengku. Hi, Tengku. You're on the air.
Thank you, Ezra.
Not a problem. So tell us what you think about who should have that responsibility and who's making those decisions.
Okay, as parents, we are responsible to make sure that in the future, that our children's future are good. But unfortunately, I've seen that the current kids in after SPM, they don't really know what's happening out there. They don't really know what are the future. And therefore, we have a responsibility to guide them. What I've done with my kids is I have monitored them since they were small. Mm-hmm. What are their, you know, what are their talents? Which areas and which subjects are they good at?
Mm-hmm.
And see whether they are also good in co-curriculum and things like that. So, and I give them the first chance of what is it that they would like to be. For example, my first daughter really wanted to do medicine.
Yeah.
And she's good in biology and sciences, but her STEM result was not, you know, her biology had a B in biology instead of an A. So she decided to do Islamic studies in Jordan. I say, are you sure?
Hmm.
And I let her go. 6 months later, she says, "Dad, I want to do medicine." I say, come back. Let's find a way for you to do medicine. And my youngest daughter, she was not sure what she wanted to do. But because I've been following what she's been doing in school and how she is, I thought maybe something in the social work, something in the law area would be good. And say, why don't we try law?
And perhaps, Tengku, I guess in your experience, you feel that it's important that guiding more so than indicating or applying some sort of pressure is probably the best way to go about it.
And it's important that we monitor what our children's strengths are from when they are young, so that you know that if they are trying, and they have to face reality, that if they want to do something, let's say they want to become an accountant, but we know that their mathematics is not so good, you know, before this. So we have to encourage them, tell them, you know, what reality is. And
encourage them, and also I guess be honest with them as well, and that's also the responsibility of parents as well. Thank you very much for calling in. And Caroline, just to wrap things up,
just a couple of messages. Joel saying, as a student, I feel that kids should decide and parents should be advisors. This one saying, don't ever force a child to study what you think is best for them. You've raised them to think critically, to be thoughtful, to trust themselves, their ability and their own instincts. Allow them to spread their wings and to use those skills.
Thank you all for your calls, texts, and tweets. This has been TalkBack on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.